Our guest is Sean Callow, Senior Currency Strategist at Westpac. Sean, looking at your notes, I see that you are gauging risk tolerance here. The Bank of America Fund Manager Survey had some colorful language in it, talking about how the environment screams macro capitulation, investor capitulation, and the start of policy capitulation. The firm expects stocks to bottom in the first half of next year. For you, is that too late, too early?
Oh, well, it's a disturbing outlook, that's for sure. We think that, really you're not going to get a sustained rise in sentiment until you've at least got an indication of when the Fed can see either a pause or at least a slowdown in tightening, when it starts to see core inflation easing back. And when perhaps we get some brighter signs out of China's economy. So that's probably at least until the first quarter next year. But on our base case, it's probably not much later than that. So maybe just early 2023.
Let's just talk about the dollar here, Sean, because it is certainly the story of the year currency-wise, and it's a relentless strength. And it does come against a backdrop of a Federal Reserve, which has got more and more hawkish. And I guess, you know, if markets price in some 6 months ahead, they may well have priced in all the hawkishness, so we'd be at peak hawkishness, so we'd be at peak dollar.
Yeah, look, pricing certainly a big part of it. I mean, for what we do see in terms of the futures pricing and dollar positioning there, it probably could extend a bit further. But so the question, I guess, is I definitely would expect that the dollar would roll over pretty substantially if we do get an indication that the Fed can see that the rate tightening cycle is getting close to the peak. But then of course, you still have the reality of do you actually want to be short the dollar and long something like the Japanese yen? That's a lot of carry. That's a lot of yield to give up while you're waiting for the dollar to roll over. So there'll definitely be a lot of caution there, particularly with the specific macro negatives of currencies such as the euro, which is probably in recession, and obviously sterling.
In recent weeks, it's really been a story about sterling getting absolutely hammered by the, I guess the dog's breakfast that has been British politics. Now, give us a sense of whether we've now perhaps seen the worst for sterling. It's trading at about $1.13.
Look, I think we probably have in terms of that brief low, the 103.50. That was a bit of a panic paddock spike down, I think. So it's stabilizing now, and you'd think that there is a bit of bargain hunting, even in terms of assets, that people are getting a chance to pick up some UK assets, property, what have you, at a very cheap level. But in terms of the macro picture, it's still extremely difficult. So we're clearly waiting to see what the Bank of England will come up with. They're so far, absurdly far above their inflation target. We get new inflation numbers today, looking for about 10% headline. So it's pretty awful. They haven't been super quick to tighten policy. So they've probably got to do some more catch up there. So it's just such a very difficult macro environment. And the Bank of England's flagging recession. So I would really be selling into these rallies. And I'd be surprised if it doesn't drop below 110 pretty soon.
If you look at the recent bounce in sentiment over taking on a little bit more risk, the UK rescue is part of it. But as you say, that's probably not too sustainable. The other aspects are oversold conditions as well as seasonality. They may not be all that sustainable either. There's been some positive over the earnings season. Do you think that might be sustainable?
I'm probably not the best person on the earnings season specifically, but what I certainly would say, looking at the economics and the fundamentals of the US economy, is that recession talk remains very much a forecast. I know a few weeks ago that people say, oh, already in recession, and here it is, the US is cratering, but the jobs numbers still very solid. The services sector is really quite robust. So yes, it's very difficult conditions, but in terms of the actual growth pulse of the economy, I think that's pretty helpful. We've got the Atlanta Fed GDP estimate for Q3 running at 2.8% growth. So that has to be at least supportive for to a certain degree for profits.
Okay, and you know, when you look at the other parts of the currency space, what are you liking and what are you not, in a very general sense?
Look, I mean, short term, the Kiwi has the momentum after the CPI yesterday. But in general, we do like the US dollar broadly. I know that's a popular view. We think it's too soon to call the peak. But beyond that, in terms of some of the cross rates to try to leave the dollar out of it, we think the Aussie is starting to get quite cheap on some of the cross rates. So we're still really quite bearish on the euro in terms of the winter ahead. We don't think that the European economy is really prepared for the energy squeeze. So I think that keeps rolling on, and that the euro underperforms against the Aussie, as I say, sterling as well. And in Australia's case, in general, I think we're just still expect that there's more to play out in terms of the energy squeeze, and that the net energy exporters like Australia will end up rallying over the next few months.
President Xi mentioned security 91 times in his speech on Sunday, compared to just 60 mentions of the economy. So bet against the currency there?
Yeah, well, you could certainly be betting against the economy, I would say. Whether the currency is the best way to do that, I doubt it. I think it's probably more for equities. So it's very hard to be bullish the Chinese equity earnings over the next few months, given that attitude. But the currency itself, remember, is still on a very tight leash from the central bank.
Thank you so much, Sean. Sean Callow, the senior currency strategist at Westpac, getting his take on currencies in the market.